So early in December and leading up to Christmas, we were in a series, those of you that were around for most of that will remember, and we were talking about the names of Jesus. And we did that right up until Christmas Day, and then I think the following Sunday as well, on the last Sunday of the year. So what I felt we want to do for the next couple of weeks is we're going to re-look at those, but now from our perspective. So we've looked at it in terms of the names of Jesus, and we spoke about the importance of a name, right? We use names for a number of things. Firstly, to identify who we're talking to. You know, it's easier for parents if you've got five kids to be able to call them by a name. Although, if any of you actually have five kids, you'll know you run through all of them before you get to the right one. But names are important, but names also have meaning. Is quite often, specifically if you think back in the past, a lot of your surnames and things like that came from the way that people identified you, the thing that you did, blacksmith, whatever it was, you know, so shoemaker, you got named accordingly. People identified with that's who you are. So names have meaning. And we spoke about the names of Jesus and how they point to the very character of who Jesus is. And the various, he's got a number of names, and we went through, I think, five, but there's many, many more, if you look in the Bible, of names that he's given. And these are all characteristics of Jesus. They're part of his character. Who is he? And so for us now, what we're going to be looking at over the next few weeks, and we're going to look at all of them again, and we started actually with this one, this one, which was Jesus as the Prince of Peace. And obviously, we use the other scripture from Isaiah for that, where it talks about him being the Prince of Peace. One of the names that is given to him is the Prince of Peace. And we spoke about peace and what is peace and the definition of peace. I'll recap that for those of you that may not know that. So peace in a worldly perspective is the definition is freedom from disturbance, tranquility, a state or period in which there is no war or a war has ended. So that's the understanding of worldly peace. And to some of you, that's what peace maybe, you know, means. If you, again, like us, we've got a number of little children in our home. So we find a corner somewhere and we hide from them. And we say, we just need a bit of peace. 5 minutes of peace, please. It's just like, just leave us alone, right? So for Paul and I, it's early morning coffee on the porch, looking over the garden while they're still asleep. Like that's our kind of peace, right? The kids are not there. So that's the kind of worldly definition of peace. And we have a different definition in Isaiah 26 verse 3, which is up there on the screen. It says, you will keep in perfect peace those whose minds are steadfast because they trust in you. So the Hebrew word, just as a reminder, translated peace there is the word shalom. And interestingly, as I mentioned, then the word perfect is also the word shalom. Right? Both translated as shalom, both translated to perfect peace. So what we're actually saying there, what Scripture is actually saying there is that you're going to be kept in this shalom, shalom, peace, peace, peace upon peace. That's what you're going to keep. Those of you who are basically steadfast in their faith, you're going to keep them in this state of not just the peace that we understand from a world perspective, but it's actually a peace that transcends our understanding, right? The Bible says it's a peace that you can't understand why you feel peace right now when you should be feeling turmoil, right? You're in this place where your life is in a mess and everything is going wrong, and maybe you financially is something wrong, you've lost your job, you've lost a loved one, everything around you should say that your life is in chaos, but instead you feel this peace, peace, this shalom, shalom, right? It doesn't make sense. Why? Because it's not the peace that's an absence of something going wrong. It's not the absence of disturbance. It's not the absence of, it's peace despite what you're going through. It's peace in the midst of your chaos. This is the peace that we get promised, right? This is what Jesus says to us. He says, I leave this peace with you. Not peace as the world gives, only peace that I can give. That's the very definition of the peace that we get from a relationship with Christ. Right? So, I've called this series, Christ in Me. So, just to read that scripture that I just mentioned now, if you just go to the next slide in John 14:27, it says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." Saying, I give you something the world can't give you. This peace that I give you, you can't find in the world. No matter how, you know, I think about those Tibetan monks and, you know, these guys, they retreat into the mountaintops, right, to go live a life of peace. Okay? I wonder if they come down into the chaos of the world, if that peace remains that they have up there on the mountain. I don't think so, because the peace that they have up there is the worldly peace that we talk about. It's this, there's nothing up there to get them aggro, right? They're up in a mountain, there's a whole bunch of them, they don't talk to each other, sounds like heaven. They're just, you know, all up there just arbing around eating fresh fruit, and I don't know what they do up there, but anyway, you know what I mean? They're up there finding their inner tranquility, right? Because there's nothing in up there that can bring them, there's no chaos there. So it's pretty easy to have that kind of peace, this worldly peace, if you remove yourself from all things that can create chaos on your life. But the reality is, for us, we live in a world that is chaotic. We're not promised anything different. The Bible doesn't promise you anything different. It says, in this world, you're going to have trouble. Right? Because it's not about the here and now. It's not about this moment, this little blip in your eternity that you're living. It's not about that. So you're going to experience hardship. You're going to experience loss, illness, suffering, pain. These things are going to be here when you are living on the earth. But the promise of what's to come is what we hold on to, right? But because of our relationship with Jesus, we can have this peace that transcends all of those things. In the midst of the chaos, in the pain, in the suffering, in the illness, and all those things, we can have peace in our hearts as we lean into Him. Right, so this series is called Christ in Me. And so we're going to read from Galatians 2:20. And it says this, most of you will know this. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I know, I now live in the body. I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. What we just did this morning in remembrance of Jesus and what He did for us, right? So there's two things there that you'll pick up from that verse. One, He's talking about Christ in you, right? So this is a statement. There's no longer I that live. Like in your baptism, you died to yourself. Remember, there was this, I'm dying, I'm crucified, I'm dying with Jesus. I'm being resurrected into this new life. And in that life, Christ now dwells in my heart, right? He's a part of me. He now dwells in me. And the other part of it speaks about the earthly body. Now, so you see, there's two parts to that scripture. One is talking about Christ in you, and the other one is talking about how He lives in His earthly body, and how, and so this is very important, because I think when we talk about having Christ in us, and you think, okay, well, if all believers who have been saved and baptized and believe in Jesus, if they have Christ in them, then how come we don't all walk around with the holiness of Jesus? We're not all perfect all of a sudden. All of our humanity is now gone, right? We walk around and we just do things perfectly. That doesn't happen. Anybody else living a perfect life? Not me. Okay, so it's not just me. All of us are living imperfect lives, right? No, Darren, I know you, and that's a lie. So there's this thing that could kind of say, well, if Jesus is in me, why do I still think and act in certain ways where I like think afterwards, oh, I shouldn't have done that. I shouldn't have thought that. I shouldn't have whatever, right? I shouldn't have spoken that way. I should have had more grace. I should have had more kindness. I should have whatever it is, right? So there's these two parts to what He's saying there. He's saying, it's no longer I live, but Christ lives in me. So that's a true statement. We can, but also, I now live in the body. So he's still saying there's still this flesh part of me. There's still this flesh part of me. And what I'm doing is I'm living by faith in Jesus to become more like, so that more of Jesus is around at the end of it than what I started with. Notice this walking out, working out of your faith. Walking out about what you believe, your salvation, working it out. This is what he's talking about, Jay. He's saying, yes, Christ is in you, and you can draw on that, and you lean into that, but there's still this flesh part of you that wants to draw you into the worldly stuff. And there's this contention that always goes on, right? It's an ongoing thing. So that's what he's saying there. And so I want to kind of focus on the Christ in you. So if we believe these characteristics of Jesus that we've been talking about for 5 weeks or so the last year, and this peace that Jesus is the Prince of Peace, and if we believe that at the moment of our salvation, when we receive Jesus into our life, that he now dwells in us, that means we have that characteristic of Christ in us too. Is that a fair statement to make, would you think? So we're saying we are becoming more Christ-like. As we journey, as we in faith, as we live in the body, I live by faith in the Son. As we do that, we're looking more and more, or we are trying to look more and more like the Christ in me, and we're leaning more into that and less into the world. That's what we're doing, right? So I want to say this. If Christ lives in you, then you have that same peace in you. You have access to that peace, but more than that, you are supposed to be a bringer of peace, or a peacemaker, right? In your situation, in your life, in your job, in your home, in your whatever circumstance, the role here is to become a peacemaker. Jesus was a peacemaker. And I speak about a peacekeeper just now. It's not the same thing, all right? It's not the same thing. So you want to, we're effectively saying that if we have Christ in us, and Jesus is the Prince of Peace, he's the one that brings this shalom, shalom to us, then our role is then to reflect that and to portray that to the rest of the world. How do we do that? Well, we've got to bring that same peace. We've got to be peacemakers in our situations. We've got to be the ones that are not seeking to disrupt and cause chaos. We are doing the opposite, right, of what the world does. So we don't get involved in things that are destructive. We don't get involved in conversations or do things that are going to bring discord or disruption or chaos into a situation. No, we want to be peacemakers. Okay, so let's speak about a peacemaker quickly. What is a peacemaker? Peacemaker actively works to create peace. That's what a peacemaker is, right? Somebody who actively works to create peace. And sometimes, actively working to create peace looks a lot like conflict. Everybody with me? Kind of sounds weird, right? To think that you can have conflict in the process of trying to make peace. When we look at the difference, so a peacekeeper avoids conflict, but at all costs, right? Is passive and suppresses issues and tries to just maintain the status quo. You know people like that, right? Maybe some of you are like that, where you just try to not rock the boat, right? Just don't rock the boat. Just go along with whatever. Doesn't matter whether it's, you know, we're just going to go along with whatever because we just don't want chaos in the house, or we just don't want, you know, any aggravation. So we're just going to turn a blind eye to this, just try and calm the situation down there, just, you know, not avoid having a conflict, just take whatever is thrown at you and just kind of swallow it, sweep things under the rug. You know that story? How does that work out in the end? Usually in a massive explosion, right? So I'm a Have you ever done the mock Gungor? There's a thing that they do where they check your personality, and they give you like a rating. And there's the four countries. I can't remember all of them. I think it's control, peace, perfect, and something else. There's another one. I can't remember. Fun. That's it. There's only the four, right? I think there's only four. Anyway, so my score is, we did this years and years ago. If anybody did it online, it was hilarious because I'm a thinker, so I overthink everything. Okay, so I'm doing this test, and you're supposed to not think too much. It tells you must just give your first response, and I'm sitting there going through this thing, and little Mark Gungor pops up on the screen. He says, "Stop taking so long to think about what just." And he shouts at me. So anyway, my score comes out. I'm perfect peace. Those are my countries, right? Not that I'm a perfect person, but just I strive for perfection. So I want things to be just so. I don't like Paula is on the other side of the scale where she'll be just super glue it on. It'll be fine. And I'm like, no, you know, she's out there with a piece of string measuring stuff, and I'm there with a spirit level and a square and a tape measure and a, you know, so it's just a difference in personality, right? So that's the perfect side of it. It's not to say I'm a perfect person, but I like perfection. I like nice clean lines. None of this is me. I like nice clean sharp lines. I like structural plants that don't grow all over the place. They must maintain their shape. You know, that's why I like cactuses and succulents, because they tend to be like nice and neat, right? I'm very untidy, by the way. So like if you see my desk, it's a mess. But I'm, you know, so anyway. But I strive for perfection. Normally everything's a mess is because I try to achieve perfection and I can't, so I give up. So I'm perfect peace, right? So I'm a person who likes to live in a peaceful kind of environment. I'm not a controlling person. I'm not a person who goes in. I'm not aggressive. I'm not a person who seeks out chaos and loud and bulgy, as you might know me. I'm a quiet person. I like that. I seek out peace. But what happens when a person of peace does this peacekeeping story and tries to maintain the status quo and tries to just keep things peaceful and does this and does that, what happens at the end of it is at a point it will have got too much. And then there's an explosion. Right? Then it's not so pretty. Okay, then there's the you've pushed too far. I've done this and I can't do it anymore. And boom. Right? And that happens with all of us in our different personalities for different reasons. So if you're a person who's a control person and you feel out of control, you can take it for a little while, but eventually you snap. Right? And you're going to want to assert or do something to bring that control back. Right? It's just who we are. We can't change that. But the reality is what I'm trying to portray here is this idea of being a peacekeeper is not healthy. It actually doesn't work in terms of actual real peace, in terms of you don't want to be that. We want to be peacemakers in our situations. Right? So this is what we're called to. The Bible speaks about being peacemakers. All right, so Matthew 5, verse 9 says this, God blesses those who work for peace. Now, that's not speaking about a peacekeeper. If you're working at something, that means there's something active in that, right? So it's not a passive, we just try and, you know, float around on clouds, go up into the mountains and eat special herbs. No, we don't do that. We actively are working in our situations for peace, right? We're peacemakers. We're not separating ourselves from the chaos. We're not doing, we are working, even in conflict, we are working towards peace. That's what Jesus did. If you think about it, Jesus, as the Prince of Peace, he went in and he threw some tables around, right? He wasn't afraid of conflict. He wasn't scared of conflict at all. So similarly, when they talk about this, God blesses those who work for peace. It's not talking about passive people, just like doormats, you know, people, you know, people wipe their feet on you. That's not what we're called to as believers. That's not evidence of Christ in you. The evidence of Christ in you is that you work for peace, that you actively seek out peace. You actively try and bring peace into a situation at whatever cost, and it's a work. It's not a well, we'll just be quiet and sit here and you can do what you want to us. It's not that, right? Romans 12, verse 18. Just keep an eye on time here. It says this: if it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. As far as it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live in peace with everyone. That means what? It's not contradicting. It's just saying we also, at the same time, we want to be active in working through peace and where conflict may be required in some instances to make peace. We don't go out and seek to cause chaos. As far as possible, and where you are concerned, what you're in control of yourself, try not to do things that's going to bring chaos into a situation, right? So don't actively go out there and try and disrupt. We are supposed to be sort of these purveyors of peace. We're supposed to be people who bring peace into the situation. Sometimes that looks like a need for some kind of conflict, and that doesn't mean you're going in guns blazing. It just means sometimes you need to confront some stuff and say, hey, like, what you're doing is disruptive to everyone. What you're doing is not right. And then you bring peace into the situation. That's what I'm talking about when I'm talking about conflict. But we don't always have to, and we should try not to do things that are disruptive and taking and stealing peace from others. That's what it's saying. It's saying as much as possible, you should be the one who brings peace into the situation. This Prince of Peace that now dwells in you should be evident in the way that you deal with other people and with other situations. You carry that with you wherever you go. That's now, it was a characteristic, it's a characteristic of Jesus. It's now your characteristic. It's now part of who you are, right? That you'll be a peacemaker, that you bring peace in, that you look for opportunities to create and make peace, and you don't, and you look and you live your life in such a way as it's not going to bring steal peace from others. And where others, because there's some people don't want peace. Some people just don't want peace. You have no control over that. As far as you can, as far as is with your personal self, seek to bring peace into situations. Don't seek to bring chaos. Look for the peaceful route. Look for the peaceful option. Don't do things that you know are going to, you know, it's not about are going to annoy people or set something in motion that's going to create chaos in a situation, in the workplace, in the home, in, you know, in your relationships, in church, and wherever. Right? We don't do that. As far as you are concerned and the things that you have control over, which is yourself and the things that you do, you do them in a way that you know is not going to purposefully disrupt or create a problem. It's about conducting yourself in a certain way that represents the truth of who Christ is. You can't say, I have Christ in me, and then you're out there causing absolute anarchy, right? That's not who Jesus is. So that's not who we are. Everybody with me? Good. James 3, verse 17 and 18 says, but the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. Peacemakers who sow in peace reap a harvest of righteousness. Right, so we made righteous in Christ. You know, we're not righteous. You know, the law was all about striving for righteousness by following the law to the nth degree, right? Following every letter of the law that was laid out, this code that was given to you to live your life by, to achieve righteousness in the eyes of God. And we know that Jesus is the one that makes us righteous. Like, we can never achieve that. I mean, it was never going to happen. So we could never stick to all the rules and laws and everything that it's just in our humanity we can't. So Jesus comes along and he's the one who makes us righteous. Okay, we all understand that and we know that. So it's not a thing of that. But when he says peacemakers who sow in peace reap a harvest of righteousness, well, to me that says, well, we're peacemakers because of the Prince of Peace that now dwells in us. So we seek peace. We don't seek chaos. We seek peace and we bring peace and we do the things and we actively work to create peace. Right? And because of that, and because of the righteousness that we already have in Christ, that's the evidence of it. Make sense? But rather than maybe the way you would understand it, the other way I would say that it's because of Jesus in you, because of Christ that dwells in you, and the righteousness that he gives us, right? We're righteous in God's eyes only because of Christ who dwells in us. I always say to people it's like this, when Jesus looks at you now, before you knew Christ, he saw Johan. Now Jesus is in Johan. When God the Father looks at you, he looks at you through the lens of Jesus and he sees Christ, not Johan. And that's the righteousness that we have in Jesus. That's what we're talking about. You can never have that without him. It's only through Christ that God can see you that way. He can't even look upon you because we're all sinful in our nature, right? But because of Jesus who dwells in us, that's how he sees us now. And we portray that in the way that we become peacemakers and we sow peace. We go out and we sow peace into our environments. We're not people who are going out there sowing discord. If somebody is in a, and there are many people I've encountered in my time in church and leading church who don't portray that truth, who are behind the scenes causing chaos, right? Seeking to disrupt, bring discord, disunity. That's not the evidence of Christ in you. Doesn't mean you're going to get this perfect every time. But that's where we go back to where we started, right? There's this flesh that wants you to live a worldly life. But we've got to lean into our faith, lean into Jesus in us, put faith in Christ who dwells in us, and trust him to help us be more like him. That's the journey we are on. Right? So this is how we are supposed to portray ourselves. So I'm going to finish off with three things. So wait, before I get there. So what should we do? We should love peace and we should be peacemakers. That's what it's saying here in that last scripture. We should love peace. We should seek peace. We should work for peace. This is who we are now, right? Before, when you were, you know, like me, a little metalhead anarchist running around just thinking it was fun to, I don't know, burn stuff down or do whatever, you know, break stuff or crash a car or, you know, go drink all night, and it was just fun, right? Your life changes when Christ comes to dwell in you. You no longer love those things. There's a change. Now your heart is one that desires peace in every situation. You want to bring peace into every situation. You don't want to be the one in there when you're at the bra and everybody starts getting on the bandwagon about, you know, how something is terrible. Like, you don't want to be the one that you no longer want to be a part of that. You want to say, but I don't live in that space anymore. I live in the space where, as far as I can, and as far as possible from who I am, I'm going to seek to bring peace into the situation. I'm not going to jump on the bandwagon of tearing things down and causing chaos. It's not who I am anymore. Right? I have Christ in me now. For one, Jesus is the source of perfect peace that lives in us. So that's the source. You've got the source right in you of this perfect peace, this shalom shalom. Right? It just brings this calm, this stillness, this peace in every situation. Right? And you get to bring that into environments where people around you are falling apart. Have you ever noticed how people flock towards peace? Like, nobody, very few people run towards, you know, like people by and large flock towards peaceful environments. If you think of a war area, like you've got the people that are in there that are fighting for their peace, right? So there's the peacemaker kind of, but people in general kind of move towards the peaceful side of things. And so we should be the ones that are bringing that peace into situations where there's chaos, because we have faith. So if I think about where people have gone through something, a trauma, the loss of a loved one, a car accident, something that's just bringing, and you come in and you bring the peace of Christ with you, and you pray, and you be that representative, and you bring peace back into the place where there was chaos before. Right? Why? Not because you're special, but because you have the source of that peace in you. Right? So we can, by faith, by trusting, by leaning into Christ within us, experience the peace and bring peace to others. We are carriers of the peace of Christ. Carry that peace with us, and others see it in us and are drawn to it. So what I was just talking about. So understand that you are, firstly, you have Jesus in you, the source of peace. Two, we are carriers of that peace. We are meant to take that peace into other places. It's not just, you know, I know that when we speak about it, it's all about us, right? How Jesus brings peace into my situation, where it's like I can now draw on the peace of Christ, this shalom shalom in my life, because I'm going through, life's a mess and it's chaotic, and so yay for me. But it's not just for you. You're supposed to be the one that then carries that same thing into these other situations, right? It's not about you, right? It's about the world that we live in and the influence that you have on the people around you to represent Christ to them in all situations. Number three, we are peacemakers and not peacekeepers. We don't avoid conflict at all costs just to keep peace. Conflict in some instances is a good thing. Not just in psychology and in the world, people will tell you conflict sometimes is necessary. Not all conflict is bad, right? We don't seek conflict. We're not having conflict for the sake of conflict. But in certain instances, as peacemakers, there needs to be somebody who stands up and says, hey, what you're doing is not right. What you're doing is not okay. Right? If you think about the woman and children in an abusive situation, right? There's no peace in that situation. How do you bring peace into that situation? Do you turn a blind eye to it? Just try and smooth things over? No. You get in there and you remove that wife and children from that home. There's conflict involved. There's going to be conflict, believe me. I've done this. I've been through it. There's going to be conflict, a lot of it. But it's necessary. Because there's no peace in that situation without that conflict. There's never going to be peace, right? So some conflict is good. We don't run away. We actively work for peace as believers. So I hope that everybody has got that. We're going to, as I said, over the next few weeks, we're going to look back on all of those names of Jesus, and we're going to look at how this applies to us now as people who have Christ in us. We have those characteristics. You know, what does that mean for us as believers?